You're chewing something there, Thomas. What are you chewing?
I found a very small biscuit.
Very small biscuit. Interesting. Any preference on such a small biscuit?
I can't say. It'd be advertising.
It would. But like a small biscuit.
It was.
I like to think of this introduction as a small bite of the tasty podcast to come.
Nice. I like what
see
you
what
did
there. See what I did? Segue there.
I can say the biscuit was round.
Interesting.
And it was very dark brown.
Did it have creamy centre?
It has a white interior.
Interesting.
The same colour as Seaman, which we'll get to.
Tom, I'm out of tech. You mean Seaman? You making a rather crude joke, not Seaman, because he's kind of a...
You ruined
he's
it.
He's a scaly fish.
You've
scaly,
ruined it
Scaly, scaly fish.
You've ruined it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, we've been playing a bit of Seaman on the Dreamcast.
Sega Dreamcast.
Is it Seaman or is it Caution Seaman?
I think we'll just call it Seaman. What does it say on the side of the box?
I have no clue. Pick up that.
Just says Seaman.
Okay. Mm. So... In all fairness, I guess Caution Seaman is probably worse. It means it's probably going to come at you from all angles, and nobody wants that.
No. For those who don't know what Seaman is, it's like a virtual pet that you raise on your Sega Dreamcast, and you can communicate with it with a microphone.
I guess the more...
It inserts into a Dreamcast controller.
The more famous of these kind of game sims would have been probably Hey You Pikachu.
Most people have heard that. It is a similar concept.
But voiced by Leonard Nimoy. We won't really talk about it too much.
No, because we go on
at
like length.
An hour's worth of video that we're uploading on us, the trials and tribulations of Seaman on the Dreamcast.
But what we intend it to be is a daily diary, as this game is very demanding and it does require you to play it and come back to it every day.
It does.
Otherwise, you get nowhere with it. It's a little bit like Animal Crossing in that respect.
Perhaps. Unlike Animal Crossing, though, it doesn't have cute animals and furniture.
It has some terrifying imagery.
And Leonard Nimoy, who I can only assume was paid a small fortune.
He does a lot of voice acting stuff.
I know,
doesn't
but
he?
To do a Dreamcast game.
A game which, for its time, was revolutionary, though. I think he probably quite interested him because it's very different. And
do you think he just likes hearing himself? Well, say
who
the word
if
Seaman.
You had Leonard Nimoy's voice?
Interesting Seaman.
Whenever I try and do it, it comes out of Sean Connery, which is quite peculiar.
It's actually quite hard to do. I can't. No, I can slip into Sean Connery from there
Sean
very
Connery.
Easily. I can also do Bane from there. But
okay.
Yeah, sorry, I digress. Yeah, it's good, I think. I don't know, kind of freaked out by it a bit, to be honest, but we'll see as the days go on.
But join us on our continuing adventure on our YouTube channel.
Yes, Tom and Matt Attack on YouTube. Yeah, I guess we should really apologise as well for not uploading a podcast last week. We meant to do it, but I flew off to London like a busy person, and then we haven't really had time in the week to record
We haven't, podcast. Honestly, yeah.
It's been very busy.
We would have liked to have done one, but we just couldn't do it this last week.
So sorry, guys.
So apologies.
Yeah, we're here now, and that's all that matters. We're here spending time with you. God, it feels like the audience is my son, and I'm a father who hasn't been around. I apologise.
It's that maternal instinct coming out since you hatched your Seaman egg.
Maybe it is, yeah. God, I'm going to go sit in a room and think about what I've done.
Yeah. What have you done this week? What have you played?
I played quite a bit, actually. Now I'm really delving into it. Mainly, I'm going to be honest, South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Oh, yeah. You've really stuck at that.
I have. Thank you for that terrible, terrible pun. Almost as bad as me giggling every time I said Seaman earlier in the podcast.
Mm. And it's not a Wii game where you have to wave your Wii remote around.
You don't, unfortunately.
As the Stick of Truth.
The Stick of Truth is not like a true or false game that I can waggle a Wii remote at you and get you to tell me the truth. It's not Wonder Woman's golden lasso. It's
I love the tangent that this has gone.
I know. It's almost as if we're hyped up on sugar. I've been eating nerds and small
brown biscuits.
Well, I
just had one biscuit.
Yeah, I haven't. I've been eating. I've been munching away while I've been editing.
I'll have to keep you in check then.
Yeah, I played Stick of Truth. It's very good. I actually tweeted because a few people asked me on our Twitter because I got it the day before it came out anywhere else in the world. For some reason, Denmark broke street date on it, which is nice. So I got to play it a bit before I went to London. I very much enjoyed it then. It's a turn-based RPG set in the South Park world, kind of in the style of those episodes, like when they go to return Lord of the Rings to the video shop, or the more recent Console Wars episodes, where they're all elves and wizards and stuff, and it's very, very funny.
Or like the World of Warcraft one.
Yeah.
I've seen that one. I haven't seen a lot of South Park recently.
Really?
No.
No, sucks. It's a shame. But yeah, it's chock full of references. More importantly, though, it's a solid game that is just... It's kind of got a love of games. Like, in one section, you're walking around an area and there's lots of audio logs, like in Bioshock, and it kind of makes fun of them all. It's just kind of this hobo recording video logs. He's like, I tried to find food or ammo or something I could help myself with, but no, I just found more boring audio logs. And then one of them was a lady, and she was talking about a filing cabinet where she stored some papers, and she gave me the code to the filing cabinet, which was really helpful because I didn't have the code. But then when I opened the filing cabinet, there was just a boring power-up I didn't really need. And I was like, yeah.
It's so true. I remember one of the first instances of that, for me at least, was Doom 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've never audio logs and stuff.
Yeah, they've never left since, have they? They've all lingering
they've
there.
Been around, yeah. Well, yeah. It was like, you know, Resident Evil had like the text.
Oh, of course, Resident Evil
read,
would, I
and
guess.
All this kind of stuff. I mean, even like the original.
Although
I'd
never
stuff,
read
I
it.
Think. I sometimes would. Depends.
I think I go in with every intention reading it, and I'd start reading them to begin with, and then there'd be so many.
Yeah, or you miss a few, and then you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about now.
Yeah, I don't think they're the best things. But the idea of the audio one, I guess, was meant to be a bit more user-friendly.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you don't have to sit in a screen and watch the images and then read the terribly pixelated text. Yeah,
anyway,
so it does
things
like that. But the combat mechanics are very similar to Paper Mario. Also kind of similar to Mario and Luigi, partners in time and all those kind of things, which has actually kind of made me want to go back and play those, because at first I kind of had the similar comprehension that I had with the Mario and Luigi games, in that I like playing a JRPG, but sometimes the combat kind of gets a bit too much, and even if I like a battle system, I just kind of want to race through it, so I want to kind of go attack, do this, and it's very hands-on, like you have to attack and you have to defend and stuff, which is something I didn't like in the Mario and Luigi games. But since playing South Park for quite a long time now and getting used to that combat system, I'm actually kind of tempted to go back and try them. But solid game. I think I played it for about 12 hours and I've pretty much done all the side quests, albeit not all of the trophies, which is a bit annoying that some of them are very time-specific.
Mm-hmm.
And I've missed one item out of every item in the game and I can't go back and get it, and that's better.
You have to restart the game if you want
to
get
trophies. I have to
play
a new game plus and play like halfway through to get one item, which is very, very annoying.
What does it matter?
Exactly.
You're going for the completest route.
I kind of was at the time because I enjoyed playing it so much, but then I figured, well, I've done everything in the game. I could restart it with one.
Well, you've completed the game.
Almost. I'm at the very, very end. I would have completed it had you not had your irregular Xbox session on the Thursday.
Oh!
Yeah. Well, no, I could have gone back to it today. To be honest, I don't want to finish it. Like, I'm kind of at that stage. Like, with Bravely Default, which I've been playing and talking about for weeks, I've kind of reached a stage where I'm like, well, I could complete it, but do I really need to? I kind of know where it's going, story-wise. Cause I'm at the very
end. Kind of have that with games. I don't want to, like with Mario 3D World, I'm at the end of that last world.
Yeah.
I think, if I go back to it now, I'll finish it. I like to have it waiting there, just in case I want a fix of Mario 3D World.
Yeah.
But I've got to bite the bullet at some point, otherwise I'll never bloody play it, will I?
It'll just sit there like Shadows of the Damned, unloved and uncompleted for like 3 years.
Ah, but eventually I'll get around to it.
Eventually you will, yeah. But I played Stick of Truth. It's very good. I honestly really recommend, if you like South Park, you will love it. Like, the RPG mechanics are very simple, so they won't really get in the way of the game. And you can also kind of, the nice thing is as well, you can kind of work out in the world how to avoid combat. Like, it kind of, it lets you, like, hit things in the environment with your fart magic, because you have fart magic, and kill enemies before you go in battles, so you don't have to go in battles or anything. The European version is censored. It doesn't really get in the way, to be honest. I've seen the scenes on YouTube, and yeah, there's an abortion thing, and that's kind of funny to play the minigame there, but the rest of it's just kind of like, well,
But it does go into great detail to describe the events it of does, what's going on.
And that actually kind of makes me laugh even more, that there's like crying statues of David and stuff when it says, like, you lose Europe and all this kind of stuff. So I'm
they make
okay
a joke
with
of
it.
They could have been quite straightforward with it, but it's kind of nice that they do something with it.
They do. As I don't have an Xbox, though, this week, Xbox One, I should rather say, I have not been playing Titanfall. So
I've heard mixed things about Titanfall. I've heard it's quite lackluster, really, in a way that it is just Call of Duty with robots. But what I've seen of it is, I mean, to believe otherwise, because it looks quite exciting. You know, it not only within robots, but leaping out of robots and jumping around. And
it kind of seems to me, from videos I've watched, that it's kind of that nice hybrid between Call of Duty and Halo, which is something I could get behind.
Yeah, so could I. I'd really like to try it so before I make any sort of judgment on the game.
But, you know, I don't have an Xbox One. Our long-running campaign to try and get Microsoft to give us one seems to be going nowhere.
Yeah, we've heard nothing on that.
We've heard nothing on that.
What's going on?
I've also kind of been tweeting at them, kind of annoyed, because every GameStop staff I've talked to, be it in our town or in other towns in Denmark, seems to be really pissed off, because I mentioned on the podcast, right, that they'd started importing Xbox Ones from the UK.
I think you might have done.
And essentially, there's like a markup on them, so they're like £500 to buy an Xbox in Denmark at the moment. But I was in Bilka,
so
which is the big supermarket here, and I saw Titanfall for the Xbox One on a shelf, just on its own, just in the Xbox games. I took a picture. It looked sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably nobody's got one.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cheap as well, because nobody's got an Xbox One. So I guess any copy
they
can shift, they get it.
Messed up.
Yeah.
Really?
Small market, see, in Scandinavia. Scandinavia's got one of the smallest European markets of games, which is a shit, because Scandinavian developers produce some of the best games out there, I would argue.
Like Bumpy's Spin the Bottle. Bumpy's Party Spin the Bottle.
Yes.
I think it's developed by a Scandinavian.
It's made by a Danish studio.
Based there in we
Copenhagen.
Go. I actually had the privilege of playing that this last week.
Oh, really?
With a few friends. My girlfriend came over for the weekend, and we got together a few people, and it's a great, fun multiplayer game that it keeps with the Wii ethos of party games and playing together and just not being too serious about video gaming.
Okay.
Yeah, and how it actually instructs you to turn the TV off was rather cool. Everything takes place on the gamepad.
Interesting.
And the games are quite fun. There's Pass the Badger. We had to sit, kneel down, back to back with our mutual friend Austin, and pass the Wii remote from between our legs.
Okay.
With keeping it steady without knocking it. Yeah.
Interesting.
That was one of them. One of them where two people had to hug each other, holding the Wii remote around each other, and jump up and down when this note, this musical note, hit a certain point, like, woo, and they had to jump in rhythm together in time. There was another one where on the Wii U gamepad you had a platform game, and every time you needed your character to jump, you had to get the other person to jump themselves with the Wii remote in their pocket.
Okay.
So you were effectively controlling the jump button by controlling another person.
Huh.
There's so many great ideas in it. It's very innovative, and I suggest anyone who hasn't tried it, it's relatively cheap on the Wii U for Wii U owners, you know, go out and give it a go. Get a few friends.
Sounds fun, right?
It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Do you mention that it actually encourages you to just use the gamepad and turn the TV off?
Yeah. I mentioned
that. Just checking. It's okay.
You've been reading that magazine.
I was drifting off into a magazine that's by the side of us for a segment later on. Seems like a good game. From what you said, there's a video of you playing it with our friends. We're not going
to
upload it.
Yeah, I don't think the amount of people I'd have to persuade.
Yeah, and get to sign something.
Especially the one where a couple of our friends, there's a game where you place the Wii Remote standing up and both players have to touch a button on the Wii Remote with their nose. So one has to press the B button on the back and the other has to press the A button on the front.
Yeah.
So they have to
so
get
almost
in like they're,
like
kissing,
they're kissing
with a
okay,
Wii Remote between them.
Yeah, we won't upload that, but I'm kind of looking forward to seeing it. It sounds funny.
Yeah, it went no further than that.
Yeah, okay. No tongues.
It was very clean.
Yeah, just evening. Noses.
Yeah.
Anything else you've been playing this week?
I was going to ask you that question.
Well, I've been playing a bit of
Alternate.
Yoshi's New Island on the 3DS. I've only just kind of briefly skimmed the first couple of levels. I completed the first world almost. Seems good. Seems solid. I kind of have to agree with what Kotaku said, though. As much as I don't want to, in that it's just kind of the same game I played on the Super Nintendo.
Mm. And the same could be said about the sequel to Yoshi's Island on the DS.
Yeah.
DS. It's similar. It's got some new ideas. But yeah, it doesn't really break much new ground, that one didn't, and
this
one doesn't either.
I kind of forgot how much I hate the mechanic where if you get touched by something, Baby Mario flies off and then you got to try and grab him.
I say what I really liked about the second one was actually it did bring quite a few new unique gameplay elements through the fact you just didn't have Mario and Luigi, you had
the other babies.
Peach and the baby Donkey Kong was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Does this game include those?
From what I've seen, it's just essentially, I think, to be honest, it even seems to kind of skip the second game. Because it starts with like the stork from the end of the one on the Super Nintendo kind of going, yay, I'm flying away now. And him delivering the baby Mario and Luigi to their parents. But they're not their parents. They delivered it to the wrong house. So the stork tries to fly away. And he gets hit by, what's his name? The wizard, the evil
Kamek.
Wizard.
Is it Kamek?
Yes,
or Kamek.
Kamek. Steals the baby Luigi and then Mario falls, much like he does in the Super Nintendo game. So it seems like Nintendo are going for this whole vibe of like, hey, these are Super Nintendo games you really loved.
Yeah.
And kind of disregarding the DS one, maybe. I mean, there was even like Yoshi's Touch and Go was kind of...
I never played that.
Based off the idea of Child Mario on you, even though it was all touchscreen and you kind of just running along.
Well, I can recommend the second game. You know, it sounds maybe like that's does more to freshen up the formula
perhaps
than the new
does.
One does.
Yeah, well, it's very early days yet.
Yeah, let's hear what you have to say maybe next
kind
week
of
on that one.
Mechanical change I've seen is there's kind of like mini games to collect coins that use the vehicle modes from the previous games of like you turning into a plane or whatever. But I've turned into a minecart and a hot air balloon so far. And they're all tilt-based.
Oh, yeah. And you like that?
It was.
I know you're not a huge fan of the
gyroscope. Well, my problem with gyroscope games in handhelds is that I'm very aware that I'm probably going to play most of them on a bus, which is very jaunty and very rickety. And when they require a lot of precision, it kind of annoys me, especially in Luigi's Mansion. And I imagine some of the trickier levels, if I don't play them at home, will be very frustrating to try and complete, but they're only for coins and stuff. They don't matter. Like Luigi's Mansion, I had to balance perfectly along a beam to get into the final dungeon, and I couldn't do it on a bus. This is just kind of like, oh well, you lose a few coins, and I'm like, I'm okay with that.
Okay, a little less harsh.
And it didn't seem that harsh, to be honest. It was just kind of like tilting the screen left, tilting the screen right, but you could press the A button to stop anyway. So if you guess you got jaunty on a bus, you could just hold the A button and then you'd be in place.
How about the visuals?
Looks very nice. It's kind of got that.
Do you like the departure from the original kind
of
graphics?
Well, I kind of think the original kind of had this feel to it anyway, even if it was very pixely. It's kind of got a watercolour, kind of clay vibe to it, which I'm kind of okay with. Like, it still looks a bit jarring. Like, I think if you were to release these games later down the line on like the Wii U or something like that, they wouldn't look very nice on a big screen in HD. Like they seem very...
They'd have to be upscaled HD and reworked slightly.
Yeah, definitely. Like I think they would just pixelate the crap, and I think even if you took a screen grab of them and blew it up a little bit, it wouldn't look that nice. It doesn't feel to some of the quality levels I've come to expect from the 3DS in terms of how it would scale and its definition. But that's just a minor concern. I think that's just to do with the visual aesthetic. I'm sure it would look fine.
Yeah.
But
it's interesting, though, actually, thinking about it, they've gone for another sequel to Yoshi's Island when they could have maybe done Yoshi's Story too.
Yeah, perhaps.
That might have been a more unique game.
Maybe. Well, you know, I know it's branching paths some of the same and stuff. Well, it's
Control mechanisms.
But Yoshi's Story is kind of a sequel to Yoshi's Island, though, isn't it? Like,
no Baby Mario.
No, it's no Baby Mario, which admittedly, in my opinion, is a bit of an improvement. I like Yoshi's Story. I thought it was a very good game. I actually it was one of the games I got with my N64. Had GoldenEye, I had Ocarina of Time, I had Yoshi's Story. That was it, I think. Oh, and then I bought Lilac Walls not long after. But
oh,
those are the four games I had for my N64 for a very long time.
Yeah.
Until Majora's Mask came out.
Oh, that fills me with warm feelings. Yeah. Speaking of Zelda, let's segue on to the fact that I've been playing Ocarina of Time again.
Oh, really?
Albeit on the 3DS. Bit of a late comer to this 3DS re-release of Ocarina of Time, but I can confirm it's my favourite Zelda game. I'm more of a fan of the 3D games.
Interesting.
Than the top-down Link to the Past games. In fact, I surprised a friend on the bus when I revealed to them that I hadn't really played Link to the Past when they were recommending Link Between Worlds.
Really?
To me, yeah. I've played a little bit of it. I've played more of probably Link's Awakening.
Yeah.
But my fondest Zelda memories are Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, I have to say.
I was actually chatting to the guy who works in a small retro shop in Cardiff called Takuzoku previously, and now it's called Super Tomato, and he was telling me that he hadn't played Link to the Past as a child because he'd always had a Genesis and been a big Sega collector. Yeah. Gone back to it, he kind of said, well, yeah, I can appreciate what it is, he said, but it's not, like, it doesn't bowl me over. Like, I think perhaps a lot of people's love of that game, it is a very good game and it does do a lot of stuff that is groundbreaking for the time. Like, I had it, but I didn't own a copy until later in the Super Nintendo's lifespan because my brother bought it and hated it.
Like, yeah.
I think it's a game you either love or you hate, and admittedly a lot of people now claim to love it because it is a good game.
I need to try it again.
But yeah, maybe we'll do a Tom and Matt attempt on it.
Yeah,
it's a very good game.
Yeah.
I like it. I really like the feel and the aesthetic of everything, and I love Link's Awakening as well.
Yeah.
Which I think kind of lends itself to that.
Ocarina,
yeah,
great, and I really like the 3D, the use of 3D in it. They use it to great effect. Nice to see the graphics given a bit of a spruced up. Link looks a little bit more rounded now, a little bit more cute and boyish.
Cool.
Than he did in the original. But you just playing that game again, you appreciate how well thought out it is.
It's fantastic.
It is nothing short of a masterpiece. I know this is said by nearly everybody who's played the game. But I can testify to that, not really being a massive Zelda fan, that it's just something else. It's like magic happened when that game was made.
Yeah.
Something just, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a very good team, isn't it? It came along at the right time. Mm. It just, like, what
it
I love...
It came along after a while of waiting.
Well, no, you know, but like, you know what I mean? Like, you look at the game, and aesthetic-wise, and what it tries to do, it is groundbreaking of, like, this overall, like, hub world.
Mm.
That, you know, obviously games like Final Fantasy and stuff had a world map before, but a world you could actually explore in 3D as a character. And it, even though it isn't very big, it feels expansive.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because how far apart everything is and stuff, it's
delivered
great.
Above and beyond what I think could ever be expected at the time, and just wowed people. And it's a testament to the quality that it still does today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I think that Majora's Mask is a very good game. Mm-hmm. I've got some frustrations with it over Ocarina. I don't think it's as good as Ocarina, but it's a very good game. And then, like, Wind Waker is fantastic.
Yeah, I've started to play Wind Waker again, having got it with my Wii U. But I got stuck most recently. So it's a game that I really enjoyed what I've played of it, but I haven't got so far into it that I can say so much about it.
Talk to the boat, Tom.
Talk to the boat, yeah, thank you for that. That didn't help.
Oh, really?
I'm still stuck on it.
I'm sorry.
Need a guide.
I'll help you. If I play it a little bit, I'm sure I can remember it. I've completed that game about 4 times.
Wow.
Yeah, I love it. It's my favourite Zelda game. Yeah.
I've heard this as well. People do rate it very highly.
Yeah.
And I mean, visually, I can see why.
I mean, let's be honest. Like, how many HD remasterings of a game warrant the release of a limited edition console? It's because it's a fantastic game. Like, admittedly, I guess they saw how batshit people went for the Ocarina of Time 3DS, which I keep seeing recently in Denmark, and really? I kind of want to pick up.
Because it matches the Wii U, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, what else have you been playing this week?
This week, I have been playing a little bit of Bravely Default. I'm not going to go into it, though. I've talked about it time and time again. Kind of just grinding and leveling up jobs so I can kill things.
That's still keeping you going, then?
It is. Yeah, to be honest, other than that, I don't really think I've played anything other than a few videos worth of games we're going to put up later, so I'm going to really talk about them. I've bought a few things. A good friend, Matthew, sent me a text message when I was on my way to the airport last week at the same charity shop that I purchased my NES Max controller from. He happened to be in there because it's across the road from where he lives. And he texted me a picture and he said, "Hey, just saw this in a charity shop for 50 kroner, which is just over £5. Is it any good to you?" To which I said, "Yes!" And I tried to ring him.
What was it?
A boxed NES Advantage, the arcade stick for the original Nintendo Entertainment System.
And a sturdy piece of kit it is as well.
It is.
Never having seen one before.
Never having held one in my hand as well. Yeah. It's weighty. The arcade stick feels durable. It feels like an arcade stick.
Yeah, which actually surprised me somewhat because I expected it to be very cheap and plasticky.
Yeah.
And it really isn't.
To be honest, I've heard it's regarded as one of the best arcade sticks around. Like, a lot of people I've seen since owning one and posting it on our Twitter mod it. They mod it for PC use and stuff because people love playing with it so much that they want to...
It's got a lack of buttons, though.
It has, yeah. But, you know, for someone trying to recreate an arcade cabinet or whatever, you can easily mod it to be USB. And then you can run it on a driver and then emulate arcade classics on it.
I'd love to give it a go with some of our NES collection.
Yeah, we should. We got a few things like Double Dragon and stuff. We should give it a crack. Yeah. So I picked that up. I got this hulking monstrosity that I can't even remember the name of.
The Booster Boy.
Yes, the Booster Boy.
It's like a booster seat for your Game Boy.
It is. It's essentially the arcade experience at home for your Game Boy, apparently. I haven't tried it yet because it requires a shit ton of big C batteries, which I'm not really willing to pay for, so I'm going to try and find an AV cable that fits it. But essentially what it is you plug your Game Boy in, it's got a magnifier, it boosts the sound, and then it's got buttons and a analog stick, I guess. It's supposed to be like an arcade stick, but it looks more like an analog stick.
But it's quite high.
But it is very high.
Yeah, which meant to give you more precision, isn't
perhaps,
it?
I assume so. I guess it's because it's supposed to be more like an arcade stick. Yeah. To be honest, it's probably like the first analog type stick thing I've seen. Like, I mean, I know the NES Max has got something like that, but it's kind of very reminiscent of like an Xbox 360 analog stick when you really think about it.
Sure.
Like, the way it is, it's kind of raised with a circle and then the dimple for your thumb. I'm actually kind of tempted to try it. Imagine playing a Game Boy and it will be an absolute disaster, but we'll see. Picked that up for 200 kroner with an absolutely battered Game Boy, which was thrown in last minute for free, but I got 9 games with it as well.
What have you got?
As follows, Super Mario Land 1, Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins, Spider-Man and X-Men, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Godzilla, Soccer, Quicks, Blades of Steel, and there was a copy of Kirby's Dream Land in there as well.
Hey, we need to give some of these a go.
Yeah, I love Blades of Steel on the NES. Quicks is supposed to be a very good puzzle game. Super Mario Land, I've actually got about 4 copies of now, so if anyone wants one, please let me know.
I want to play Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
I bet that's terrible. I bet Godzilla is probably okay, though.
Godzilla?
Yeah.
Infograms,
yeah.
Hmm.
There's a soccer title, which is Nintendo, I believe.
Oh, no. You see who developed the Spider-Man X-Men game?
No.
LJN, the notorious studio that that's made some really shitty games.
Really?
If you've ever seen Angry Video Game Nerd.
Oh, yeah. I recognize that logo. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
That should be fun.
Horror. Oh, well, we can play it on the Super Game Boy and record it, maybe.
Yeah? Soccer.
Soccer, I'm sure, is a barrel.
Is that a Nintendo one?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I've heard very good things about Quix. I've always heard puzzle game. I also picked up a boxed Game Boy Pocket, which I can't remember if I talked about last week. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned
it's on the shelf over there.
Is it?
Yeah, it's behind the Game Boy Chris gave me. And, yeah, which is in very good nick. It also came with one of those bootleg 4-in-1 carts that I talked about previously on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of the company, but it actually came with two boxes, I guess, for those carts. And there's instruction manuals, and I'm kind of fascinated by it because I've never seen them online. So I'll scan them and post them up somewhere. Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of cool to read about these games.
Ooh, whoa.
And to be honest with you, I kind of get really inspired when I play them.
What, the 4-in-1?
Yeah. Because they're not rip-offs, as we've talked about previously on the podcast. They're own games in their own right. And maybe they are parodying other things, and maybe they're trying to be a cheap take-off of Tetris or whatever, but I don't know. It's just something really nice about them, how they got a very limited music palette, like the sprites are pretty much the same.
As long as they're fun to play, then that's cool.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. But it kind of makes you think, like, because you can see in the instructions now, it's got credits, and it's like 3 people made 4 games. Yeah. And, like, I probably made a lot more of them as well. Like, the volumes I have are 9 and 6. So there's obviously, like, another 7 carts out there we haven't found.
Oh, let's make it our mission.
Yeah. did I talk about this ever when I was on the podcast with Mega Man 2? When I was talking about the Game Boy version of Mega Man 2 I picked up when I was in China. Which I've now had confirmed to me is an actual cart. But when I bought that, it was in a shop full of bootlegs.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, before that, I'd kind of had this idea that I was going to collect Game Boy bootlegs, and then I'd seen this gigantic shop full of Game Boy bootlegs, and it kind of put me off the idea.
Because there's so many.
Yeah. But they were copies of games. Yeah. Like, whereas these Saigo, I think they were the company's called, is actual original titles, so I'm kind of tempted to collect these obscure carts and see if there's anything good in there.
Let's do a video.
Yeah, we should.
Let's share these games.
I think we should.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about yourself? Picked up anything else? Or?
Yeah, I've well, other than playing a bit more Pokemon Sapphire. Did I mention that the other way? I don't think I did.
I think you said you were replaying it.
I picked it back up again because not quite replaying, just finishing, really.
Yeah.
Because I was up to Elite Four and I really struggled with my Pokemon team I had. I didn't really have many other choices of Pokemon. So what I did was I traded over a Pokemon from actually one of your cartridges you picked up in a car boot sale.
That season's almost here again. I can't wait.
A nice, I forgot what it's named, Blaziken? The final evolved form of
Torchic. Yeah.
And really helped out balance my team. And I was able, after a few attempts, to complete the Elite Four. And I felt quite good that after all these years, I completed Pokemon Sapphire.
Yay!
Finally.
And so you moved on to
Pokemon Diamond, which I'm halfway through, I've discovered.
Do you also nick a load of the Pokemon I found in car boot sales off
for
those?
Diamond? No, I actually had quite a reasonable team, so I'm just...
Oh, yeah, your days in games retail of stealing Pokemon from back rooms on your DS.
Oh, well, we don't talk about that.
We don't talk about that.
That means just trading over Pokemon from traded in game. That isn't stealing.
No, it isn't.
Just so you're aware. So I played a bit of that. And other than playing a bit of Halo 4, which I never played before on Thursday.
What do you think?
I played a certain mode in it that was a multiplayer cooperative mode.
I can't remember what it's called. It's essentially the story-based version of Firefighters, isn't it? I can't remember what it's called.
And to tell you the truth, it didn't have the same sort of atmosphere. I think when I was playing it with Gareth online, he explained that, this mode doesn't really feel like that. It's an extra mode. It's not like the main story mission. It's meant to feel a little bit more basic in a way.
It is. It's kind of got this little bit of...
arcadey.
Yeah, well, it's Firefight, but with a story tacked on. The whole idea of it was, when it was released, was you could play these five missions with your mates, and then the story would progress every week, and they'd release new things. And obviously, they're all long out by now. And I don't think anything ever really came of it. It was supposed to carry on the Forward Until Dawn storyline, I think.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I couldn't escape the feeling, though. It didn't feel quite like Halo.
Yeah.
There were certain things about it. But I never played Halo 4 before, so it was all new to me. How the gun fired felt differently, the sound it made, and there were little things like the way characters were talked over intercoms and things, which didn't feel very Halo. It's funny how unique the world of Halo is, and what Bungie created really did stand out as being something very different. And now it feels like with, is it 343 Studios or something like that, I think they're called?
Yeah. That or the other way around.
Okay. It felt a little bit more generic.
Yeah, that's why I kind of feel
like. And I feel
it.
Like, well, that's it. It's Halo dead. That's
no, I don't think so. To be honest with you, I think maybe they were kind of... The campaign itself does
this
feel
very
fresh. This is
where I can't judge it, because I haven't played the campaign, and like, I really should.
I kind of don't like some of the new Forerunner weapons and stuff that are in it. But, yeah, the game feels like Halo, and it's got some cool things to it, and it's kind of got...
I'm too quick to judge, then. Influence. From what I've played, I don't think I can make a fair judgment.
To be honest, I think Elysium kind of tries to steal a lot of the things they introduce in that game. Is a lot of mechanics and stuff, and a lot of visuals that kind of remind me of Elysium.
So as long as it has got that vision and does some new things, that's quite cool.
It does.
I'll have to go back to that and check that out. I haven't played much else, I don't think, but I have bought a couple of things.
Oh, really?
I bought... something on the Vita. Tomb Raider 3.
Interesting.
In a sale they have at the moment on the PlayStation Store, because I've never played Tomb Raider 3. And
neither had I.
The only one I've not played.
I nearly picked up the Tomb Raider HD Complete Collection thing.
Oh, with Legend week. And...
Yeah.
Legend? And
no, well, it's just 1, 2, and 3 in it. It's like a classics thing.
What?
Yeah, do you not realise this exists?
It doesn't exist.
It does.
There's a triple pack, but it contains Underworld and Legend.
Really?
And yeah.
Oh, I thought
it's not the old game. It's not the PS1
games. There's a HD remastering in the original 3.
There's a remake of 1, Tomb Raider Anniversary.
No, I've played that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying there exists out there somewhere. I'm not sure if it's on a disc or whatever. But I'm sure it's downloadable for someone. It does.
It doesn't.
Guarantee you.
It doesn't.
Guarantee
I guarantee you that it doesn't.
I'm pretty damn sure. Someone told me about it on Twitter the other week when I said I hadn't played Tomb Raider 3.
Well, I'm pretty damn near certain.
Okay.
That there isn't one of them. And excuse me if I'm wrong, but I've never seen
it. My phone is dead. I can't Google it.
Anyway, I haven't really played it yet, but I'm eager to try it out. Actually, I lied when I said it's the only Tomb Raider game I haven't played. I haven't played Angel of Darkness, and I haven't played Tomb Raider Underworld. And I haven't played Guardian of Light, or whatever it's called.
That's the... Xbox download one, right? Angel of Darkness is
the PS2 one.
I think I've played a bit of that. I played Legends and the.
You play Underworld.
Which one was Underworld?
It was released after Legends, I think.
Perhaps.
It features Lara's body without a head on the cover, and it's all greenish.
No, then I haven't. No. Yeah.
I think it's more along the lines of Underworld.
Okay.
Not Underworld, sorry. That's the name of it. Legend.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I also picked up with the nearly exact amount of money left in my PlayStation wallet, which I think was 72p. Shucks, what's it called? It's that thing about Bigfoot with kind of like a point-and-click adventure.
I don't know.
You're on your Vita now.
Yeah, but my Vita's not working. I'm trying to do it.
Ah.
Yeah.
You have to solve a puzzle. It's a little bit like Professor Layton.
Yeah.
And you play a kid who's going away to summer camp. And I think the car breaks down and they get lost on the way and you have to solve a puzzle. And then the kid gets involved with the... He sees Bigfoot by the side of the road.
Okay.
And it's the first episode of, I think, what's an intended series. Whether there's more episodes available, I don't know. But it looked lovely, actually, on the Vita.
Okay.
Oh, also, I'll mention that I did go back to Stick It to the Man, which I mentioned on the podcast a few weeks ago.
You did.
And saying that I could not understand what to do next. And this is very near the beginning of the game. And, yeah, playing it on the PS3 the other day, I had no problems.
Yeah, you just kind of blitzed through it.
I don't know if I glitched the game when I played it on Vita and did something in the wrong order that caused me not to be able to progress, but this time round, yeah, fine.
Okay.
Very unique aesthetic to that game, and I like it so far. I like its sense of humour too.
Yeah.
That's quite refreshing. I think that's everything. Yeah, my gaming experiences for last week, other than, you know, a foray into Seaman today and a quick blast on Trick Style on the Sega Dreamcast.
Yeah.
As well.
Trick Style is a terrible game.
It's not a terrible game, Matthew. It's a fine game. It was alright. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I see that had a lot of potential.
I didn't. anything you're looking to forward to playing or picking up in the next week to come?
I've pre-ordered Zyber, Ninja Gaiden something.
My copy of Dark Souls 2 is on its way to us as we speak, so I'm sure we'll end up videoing us playing that next week.
Yeah, and I'm not sure when the Ninja Gaiden game... Is it Ninja Gaiden Zed? Or?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know when that's released. I think it's released at the end of the month.
Sometime this month.
Yeah.
I think the only other thing I'm going to pick up this month, to be honest, is Ground Zeroes. I'm going to get Second Son, but I'll get it in April, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Both games I'd like to see.
Exactly. Infamous Second Son should be very interesting, as it's a game developed solely for this platform.
It should be.
So, fingers crossed there'll be something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And actually live up to it. Yeah, if you've liked the podcast, guys, please, 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 please go to iTunes, subscribe, and give us a review. Honestly, it means a lot if you do, because then it means we go up in rankings and stuff, and that is a good thing, because more people listen to it, which keeps us interested, which is always nice. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TomOmatAttack. We will do it regardless. We will come at you through your stereo while you sleep. You can find us on Twitter at TMAcast, and you can find us on YouTube, where we will be uploading regular videos
now
of us
new videos.
Playing Seaman. Yeah. Yay! And you can find us there at Tom and Matt Attack as well. Until next week then, guys.
It's been a pleasure. Game on.